It's time for Youth Sports Now, the only radio show in Rochester dedicated to the excitement, the passion, the development, and well-being of young athletes. From peewee to college athletics, Youth Sports Now brings you expert advice and helps prep young athletes for the game and beyond. Youth Sports Now is sponsored by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance. And presented by McQuaid Jesuit, the area's only all-boys Catholic college prep school for grades 6 through 12. And by TJT Sports Photography, taking the winning shot every time. Here's the host of Youth Sports Now, the lifelong Little Leaguer, Greg Camp.
Welcome to this edition of Youth Sports Now. I am Greg Camp, your host and lifelong Little Leaguer. Going to have a really good show today. I think we've got lots of things going on in sports and lots of things going on both at the youth and the major league levels. A couple of things I wanted to talk about right off the top. And first of all, don't forget, please follow us on our Facebook and Twitter sites, as well as you can email us at youthsportsnowradio@rochester.rr.com. So those are some great contact points for you for the radio show. A couple of things took place in the past few weeks that we wanted to address and tell you a little bit about. I had an interesting meeting with the Rotary Club of Penfield, New York. I was asked to do a presentation. And what I thought was interesting was the amount of interest that there is in youth sports with the folks who are what I'll call the grandparent era. And the grandparent era is something that, you know, so many of us forget about when it comes to youth sports. And, you know, I wrote a column a couple of weeks ago about how important grandparents are for the development of kids. And more importantly, even with the development of youth sports. And what I found interesting was that there's a lot of interest and there's a lot of questions about grandparents becoming involved in youth sports at the volunteer or the coaching level. And I think it's a wonderful idea, wonderful concept, and I encourage grandparents to get heavily involved. You know, the great thing about grandparents is that the youth will potentially talk to the grandparents a little bit more than they talk to mom and dad. So sometimes grandma and grandpa can find out some vital information when it comes to what's taking place in youth sports, how the kids are feeling, and anything that may have happened on the practice field and or the court or field of games. So it's something that we're probably going to take a little bit more of a look into that on Youth Sports Now and see what how many people are involved at the grandparent level. So just some great information, something to think about. And if you are out there listening to us and you happen to be a grandparent, hey, you know what? Why not get involved? Why not become a Pop Warner coach or a USA hockey coach or soccer or a Little League coach? Your wealth of information, education, and experience could, in fact, make a difference in the lives of not only your grandkids, but the other kids on the team. So this message, I guess, is brought to you by the Grandparents Association of America, if there is one. So we definitely encourage those grandparents to jump into some volunteerism. You know, we are sitting here and we're a couple weeks away from Christmas. And, you know, Christmas is a time when a lot of folks will go out and spend a lot of money on some sports items, equipment items. And as sort of a public service, Youth Sports Now wants to remind all of you that when, in fact, you are purchasing any sports equipment for kids, for relatives, it's really important that you understand a couple of things. First, it's probably not a wise idea to get things that need to be fitted. So, for example, baseball helmets or football helmets, shoulder pads, ice skates, things of that nature are not necessarily important products that you want to be purchasing when the kids aren't with you. So that's one tip that we have to offer. Another tip or suggestion is really something that takes safety into account. Whenever you're purchasing any youth sports equipment for holiday gift giving or birthdays or whatever, make sure that it has, in fact, been safety rated. related. They should have some sort of seal of safety on these products, which says that, number one, the league that the children are playing in has approved it, and it has received a safety rating. So you want to make sure that before you purchase anything, it's probably the best thing to do is to go to the website of the youth sports league that you are your grandchildren or children are in, and make sure you understand what the safety ratings are. Because if you, for example, want to purchase a baseball helmet, you've got to make sure that it's going to protect at certain speeds of the pitches that are coming in. So it's a great thing to do. Sports equipment's a great deal, but make sure we're doing it for the kids' safety and that you're buying the products that will keep them safe all season long. And there you have it, another public service announcement from Youth Sports Now about the safety of sports equipment at this holiday time. Hey, got a great show coming up for you, and when we come back, we'll have some new information for you from Mike Naparella, Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training, and we'll talk about the well-being of our youth athletes.
Where the air gets cold, there's a tale about Christmas that you've all been told, and a real famous cat all dressed up in red.
Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home, where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family, where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
I am Little League.
I am Little League.
I am Little League.
We are Little League.
I am Little League.
Sportsmanship, teamwork, character. Little League, big dreams.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
We are back on Youth Sports Now, and we've got a pretty interesting segment. Actually, a couple of interesting segments here. You've certainly heard from Mike Naparella, who is the owner of Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training. And you know Mike as the title sponsor of Youth Sports Now and a regular guest on the show. But there's another Mike over at Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training. His name is Mike Alessano. And Mike is also a physical therapist, but he's a little bit younger than Mike Naparella. And he's got an interesting perspective because he works a lot with many of the same patients, but also with the youth athletes of our community. And what's really cool about it for me is that I've gotten the opportunity to work with Mike. He came out to a baseball camp that was being run that I was coaching at. And boy, you know, you talk about learning a lot as an old guy, or you can't teach old dogs new tricks. Mike, boy, he taught me a lot of new things. So first of all, Mike, welcome to U Sports Now. Finally, we got you in the studio.
It's good to be here. I was told I have the face for radio, so it's nice to put it to use.
Well, great. Mike, you let's start off with this first of all. You are a physical therapist, and you know, you, this is something that you chose to do as a career, I would assume. And what was it that in your college days that said, hey, look, I want to go into physical therapy and some sports training?
Actually happened before college. I actually got hurt my last game playing my senior year of soccer, and had to do physical therapy in order to get back to normal and be able to play at a high level in college.
Was that in Rochester or?
Yeah.
And where did you go to college in high school?
I went to high school at McQuaid, and I went to college at St. Francis University.
I guess I remember that you went to McQuaid, because I did too, except I was there when everything was still in black and white, and I'm sure you were there when everything was in color. Okay, so you got hurt. How did you get hurt, and then what did you have to do for physical therapy? And I'll even add another one. How did it affect you mentally that you got injured?
Well, I got hurt playing soccer. Like I said, I tore my hamstring, went and saw a doctor. One of the doctors in Rochester actually told me that I probably wasn't going to be able to play at a Division I level of soccer. So I went and sought a second opinion, went and did the physical therapy route, and then through, I want to say, 4 to 6 weeks, I was back to normal, running around and being able to play at a high level. So it looked like an easy job. Little did I know that there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. But I thought I was just going to be standing around giving people exercise all day. And I thought, as a kid who was used to playing sports, what better job to have than that?
What was, you know, when you work with the athletes every day at peak performance, what's the thing that you see the most, not in terms of injuries, but how the kids react and like kind of what they're going through when they know that they're injured?
It goes one of two ways. Some of the athletes, rare, but some of the athletes get pretty depressed and they start saying the why me. But the majority of the people that we have typically bounce back, and they want to get back as soon as possible, and sometimes almost to a fault that they push themselves maybe even a little bit too hard. So it's kind of that balance of being able to push them and lead them to get them back to where they want to be, but at the same time, you know, hold back and make sure that we're allowing the healing process to happen so that they can get back safely.
And Mike has certainly talked about that a great deal, about, you know, making sure that these kids are coming back safely. Have you seen in your career, and I know Mike has talked about this over the years of his career, are there more common injuries that you may see now than maybe when you were in playing sports?
Well, that's a good question. I guess I never really thought of that. I think the more common injuries that we see nowadays are a little bit more of the overuse injuries. I think when I was playing sports, I played three different sports, so there was always a little bit of a rest. And now kids seem to be playing one sport at a high level, you know, from seventh, eighth grade on. And because of that, they develop a lot more of an overuse tendonitis, tendinopathy type injury, as opposed to before, where it was more of, you know, I guess major injuries, but not as many of them.
And do you think that the parents are, you know, we tend to on youth sports now be a little bit harder on the parents and the coaches about how they work with the kids. But do you think that in today's sports society that the parents and some coaches are pushing harder because they're thinking college scholarship, or they're thinking their kid is extra special, which then also leads to the overuse injuries?
That probably has a little bit to do with it. There's a couple of patients that I can even sit there and come right to mind that may not have actually wanted to be playing at such a high level, but they've said multiple times that they're driven and pushed behind by their parents. So, yeah, everyone wants to be the next father of Michael Jordan.
Sure, absolutely. And by the way, I'm sure as you know, he did get cut from his JV basketball team, which many times is an issue that's often forgotten. So you are a physical therapist. You get to work with these athletes and all the patients at Peak Performance. How many years have you been there? And is this something that you certainly want to be able to pass on to your kids?
I have been doing it now for a little over 5 years. As far as my kids, I don't have a child yet. We're actually have one on the way, but I think I'll just let my child decide to do whatever the heck he wants to do, or children for that matter, if we end up being blessed with more than one.
So let's talk about that. So you are expecting your first child, and with all the things that have been going on in the media where, you know, Bob Costas comes out and says he's wouldn't let his kids play football, and you have, Brett Favre coming out. You are a physical therapist. Now, granted, you don't necessarily work with concussions, but you do work with sports injuries. You going to let your son or daughter play sports?
Absolutely. They will play sports. I'll probably have to push them in at a couple of sports to get them started, because I don't want them to be, choosing their own sports. When I was younger, I was very, diverse in what I did. My mom forced me to do gymnastics at a young age, so I started with doing gymnastics and then kind of developed into doing what it is that, I ended up growing a passion for. I will probably most likely throw a soccer ball towards my son, or kick a soccer ball towards my son, rather than have him play football. I was close to playing football. I actually got in line to play for the Grease Chargers when I was growing up, but then everything got filled up before I was able to sign up and register. So then we decided to go the soccer route, and I guess that ended up being a blessing in disguise, because I had played soccer and got a scholarship in order to play soccer. So everything works out for a reason, I guess.
Absolutely. You've been through some of the training on function that Mike often talks about on the radio show. And, tell me more about that and how it's different than what you learned in school or some of the traditional approaches that you used in physical therapy.
Well, school gives you the basics. So, for example, when you're looking at the knee, you learn about the musculoskeletal system, tendons, ligaments, etc. But you're focused primarily when you're in school with blinders on, where you're just really looking at how to treat the knee. When you do the applied functional science method, you're looking at the whole body and how different muscles and joints react and create different things at the knee. So, for example, looking at the foot and being able to see how different your body responds when your foot's being, being moved, or when you're stepping and moving, and what that will then do to the knee, and the differences that would have. So for the most part, when you're looking from a school, you're looking at the basics, and then when you go into the function aspect, you start looking at different parts of the way your body reacts, and it's kind of interesting and cool to see the way that all ties together.
How does it work, Mike, with physical therapists, and especially those who are going into what you do with, not only the training, but the whole functionality of the human body? I know if you're a doctor, you've got to go through an internship, or you have to go through a residency program. What happens? I mean, you go to college, and then is there some sort of an apprenticeship that happens so that you're getting sort of, on the job training or some sort of practical training?
Well, in college, I actually graduated with a doctorate, so you could technically call me doctor if you wanted. I don't expect anybody to do so, but it's a six year course. Your first three, you work towards getting a bachelor's in science, and then your last three, which include two summers, you're doing physical therapy specific, classes. And then what you have to do in order to complete that is you got to do five different clinicals. Ends up being about a year total of clinical work, where you're working underneath a physical therapist. And actually, at Peak Performance, we're going to have a student from Nazareth come to Peak Performance and work underneath me, starting in January.
That's great.
For 2 months.
That's great. So Dr. Golisano, do you think, and this is more just an opinion question, but do you think that because you played sports, that you may have not necessarily a better understanding than, say, a physical therapist who didn't play sports, but do you have some sort of sense of what these young athletes are going through when they're injured? And do you think that's a benefit to the patients?
Well, I definitely feel as though I can relate. I think a lot of times when you're dealing with high school athletes or any youth athlete, the push is always to get back as soon as possible. I often have a conversation with patients and just say, I remember exactly what happened when I was in school. I remember exactly certain games, specific games. But in reality, I couldn't tell you what record I got my junior year. I couldn't tell you what record we had my senior year. And so for the most part, it really truly doesn't matter. You remember more about the bonds and the relationship and the friendships that you have rather than, you know, how did you play against your rival coming up, in a week or so.
So in terms of, you know, you've had the opportunity to work with a lot of these athletes, and I'm going to steal a question that a listener sent in to us that I would normally throw at Mike, but I'm going to throw it at you. You know, when kids are out there, you know, the common injuries that happen, we talked about that a few minutes ago, but swimmers, we had a question from a listener who said, you know, are there common injuries that swimmers need to be aware of? And I thought that was a great question because I have no idea. Are there common injuries for swimmers?
Typically with swimmers, you see more of a tendonitis or an impingement problem. However, the often underlying issue is more of an instability, a gross instability of the shoulder joint. Swimmers tend to have a lot of flexibility in their shoulder. And as a result, that starts putting more and more stress on the muscular tendon complex to be able to control that. So when you're looking at that, you couple that shoulder blade tightness or possible rib cage tightness, mix that in with hypermobility that could be happening at the shoulder joint. And a lot of times what ends up happening is you get some kind of impingement and some tendinopathy signs. And that's typically what we see with shoulder problems. The trick with them is finding out what the underlying cause is, and then once you find out the underlying cause, how to best fix that so that when they get back into the pool, they're able to go into the pool without feeling the necessary symptoms that they're getting at that point.
And obviously, I'm sure because I know you guys do it, is the whole functionality thing as well of how a swimmer moves their body and everything. You know, we are with Mike Golisano, who works with Mike Naparella at Peak Performance Physical Therapy. And what's great about Mike is that he's played sports and is now a physical therapist and works a lot of times with the athletes over at Peak Performance. And Mike, you came out to baseball camp this past summer, and I had the opportunity to watch some of the, I guess, the prep and the functionality training that you did with the baseball players to go through proper stretching and proper techniques before a game or before practice. What was very impressive to me, and I'll ask you about it, is that you really engaged the kids. And that second time that you came out, you actually had the kids up there with you, helping you. How important is that you teach, say, a core group of individuals, and then they help you with kind of the stretching and the whole techniques of what they need to do?
Well, that's majorly important. I think the big thing that we want to make sure that we're doing is we're telling the kids and having the kids be able to know what's going on. And once they know what to do and why they're doing what they're doing, and then they can then teach other people, that's where you're going to get the broad spectrum. With time constraints, I can only go out a certain amount of times and teach people. But if I can teach a kid who then teaches a kid who then teaches somebody else, next thing you know, you've got a whole bunch of people that are warming up properly and then getting me out of a job because there's not any injuries.
So when you work with the kids, I mean, what is it that you like in terms of working with the young athletes, that whether they come into Peak Performance or whether or not you go out to them?
Well, I feel as though I'm kind of a kid in myself, and that I love to still play and still have, you know, have fun and do what it is that they do. So I like to put myself in their shoes and be able to run around and have fun. And by going out and playing with kids and having fun with them and teaching them fun ways and different things to be doing, that helps me. You know, I enjoy it. It's not, I don't think of it necessarily as work or as a job. It's something that I just enjoy doing and enjoy being around them.
Well, I certainly know that from watching the response of the baseball players that you got a great way with them, and they certainly understand. In fact, I don't think I told you, or I know I talked to Mike Naparella about it, is that after you left, about a week later, we were in all-star practices for district tournaments and so on, and one of the players who you had up with you when you were instructing the other kids, he was in charge that day of running the pregame drills So he took the guys out to the outfield, and there were their normal drills that they would do. But suddenly when I watched them sort of running backwards and doing some of the other things, I'm like, oh, they learned. And I asked him, and he said, he goes, oh, no, I learned from a physical therapist. So it was great to see that,
Yeah, that's good to hear.
So that was great. And we hope to certainly have you back out there again next summer. You know, Mike Naparella mentioned that you had a great example recently of a high school athlete that benefited from working with you and this whole idea of in-depth functional mechanics and that approach. Tell our listeners about that.
Yeah, so I recently had a patient who was diagnosed with rotator cuff tendonitis. So it's similar like the swimmer, but he was a pitcher, baseball player. And when doing a traditional physical therapy evaluation, which we need to make sure that we check the basics, range of motion, strength, and tenderness, he had a little bit of tenderness in the rotator cuff muscle and a tiny bit of weakness, but for the most part wasn't jumping out at me as something that would be a root of his problem. So what I had him do is I had him throw a couple of balls and just see how he used, just to look at his general gross mechanics. What I noticed was he was very tight in his thoracic spine, so middle spine and rib cage area. He just didn't extend or move backwards very well, and definitely didn't turn towards the right very well. So as a right-handed thrower, when he's in that cocking phase of the throwing position, as he's coming out of that cocking phase, he's using all of his arm. So what we ended up having to do is we had to work on moving his spine a little bit better, getting some more rotation and some extension in his spine. And then by doing that and then developing a better throwing pattern, we ended up not really doing a whole heck of a lot for his shoulder, because his shoulder in general wasn't too bad, but it was just getting whacked because it was trying to do more work than his spine wasn't able to do. So it was being the better teammate, and because his spine wasn't moving the way it was supposed to move, his shoulder started getting sore. So after working with him for 4 weeks, he ended up back to throwing, and now he's throwing with more of his body and is complaining of absolutely no pain. And to be honest with you, we didn't really do much at all for his shoulder. We were just working on the spine, and that took away the pain completely.
You know, that stuff amazes me. We've spoken with Mike about that during the peak performance physical therapy segment so many times. And you know, how important from your perspective, again, as an athlete when you were in high school and college, that, you know, the coaches really understand what you do now as a physical therapist?
Well, I think it's very important, because there's times where an athlete can get injured, and it might take them a while before they're able to see a doctor, or they're able to see their athletic trainer, or their athletic trainer at school is just too busy to be able to, because they're just flooded with a whole bunch of little injuries, that the coaches can then send them to therapy, or we can have a better working relationship with them, so that when we tell them this is what the athlete should be doing, or they should be having rest days after playing games, or, you know, being able to work together. I think by working together, we're only going to make our athletes safer and then in turn better.
And ultimately, you know, that's what we're all about here at U Sports Now, is to make those athletes, you know, much safer and make sure that they're taken care of. Mike Alessano has been with us from Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training. And I think he might just be sticking around for a few minutes and talking with Mike Naparella, who's going to be joining us next during the Peak Performance Physical Therapy segment on U Sports Now. Sweet.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM, 1040 AM. Get the podcast at WYSL1040.com.
I am Little League.
I am Little League.
We are Little League.
I am Little League.
I am Little League.
Sportsmanship, teamwork, character. Little League. Big dreams.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from your home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference. Call Peak Performance at 218-0240. That's Peak Performance, 218-0240. We'll be expecting you.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Youth Sports Now presents Your Peak Performance, topics that support the well-being of your young athlete, presented by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester.
And we are back on Youth Sports Now. I am Greg Camp, your host and lifelong Little Leaguer. And, you know, as I sit here in the studio getting ready for the Peak Performance Physical Therapy segment, I look around and I'm literally and figuratively surrounded by mics. I've got microphones in front of me, and there's microphones all over the studio. And then I've got Mike Golisano, who was our guest in the first segment, and I've got Mike Naparella here. So I guess I'm pretty safe if I just say, hey, Mike.
You're doing great. That works.
Doing great, guys. Hey, you know, we want to talk real quick about this because I think it's important, because part of our job on Youth Sports Now, we may talk a lot and do about sports, but it's also about life lessons and giving the kids the ambition and the motivation to do things that are important in their lives. And Mike Naparella, you've got a guy, a young guy, Mike Golisano, who works with you. Obviously, you brought him into the Peak Performance family. And he wanted to be a physical therapist because of an injury. A, how often do you ever see that? And B, you know, can you guys maybe just talk a little bit about the experience of being a physical therapist and working together?
Absolutely. You know what? I think it's sort of ironic in an odd way that the great majority of physical therapists, I think, that I've spoken to, the start of it all seemed to go back to them getting injured. And there's this fascination and interest with figuring out and problem solving how to get through that process as quickly as possible and get back safely. And, you know, I think therapists, as all healthcare providers, have that sort of caring heart, that wanting to help sort of side to them. And when you combine that with sort of a fascination, with a curiosity with the healing process and how to figure out how something happened and how quickly do I get you back, physical therapy turns out to be one of those professions that is a really neat thing to get into, because we can combine the best of those both of those worlds together.
So for you guys, I mean, how alike is your training? Now, Mike, you went through this, obviously, you know, you're slightly a few months older than Mike Golisano,
but dinosaur in the clinic.
But you know, for you two guys, I mean, how different was your training? I mean, Mike Golisano, what are you aware of was different in your training from what Mike went through?
The training is the exact same thing. We both did the 40-week course where we were working with the same kind of mentors. But the interesting thing about function and what you're seeing with function is each person's going to interpret things differently. So what I may see in a patient, Mike might not see. And then what Mike may see, I may not have any clue as to where he's going with it. The key and the things that we always typically do as we work together and finding, hey, I saw this on this person, but, you know, they're not getting quite back to where I wanted to be as fast as they are. Well, what do you think? Where else would you look? And then he'd give me a couple of pointers and say, hey, this is where I would go. Have you checked that? And then we'd be able to go back and forth. So when you're dealing with function, a knee isn't just a knee. A knee on you is completely different than a knee on me, and a knee on me is completely different than a knee on Mike. So when you look at a person as a whole, you're trying to find out exactly what's going on for them individually. And that's why we make everything so individualistic as far as our protocols and the things that we give, exercise that we give to our patients. So because of that, Although we've had the same training, we probably take completely different approaches, and what Mike might look at and what I might look at would be different under the same kind of theme.
Mike, what do you think about that?
Well, and I agree totally, and I guess I would give Mike some extra kudos there. Yeah, we both went through that 40-week fellowship program, which, again, at Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is a unique thing that we offer that no one else in Rochester has been through. And we're really proud of that, and we really love having that functional, problem-solving, biomechanical perspective. It's helped us immensely be effective with our patients. But Mike, as with Aaron, who is our newer physical therapist that we've mentioned over the past several weeks, in these recent 5 or 10 years, physical therapy has shifted from what used to be a bachelor's degree program, a 4.5-year program, when I went to school back in the Paleolithic era or whatever that was, back 25 years ago or so when I graduated, and my wife Karen as well. It was a bachelor's program back then. Now, she also got her master's in athletic training. I did a double major with exercise science. So we all have sort of nuances to how we came up and trained through the field. And we've got all those years of physical therapy experience behind us. The core program of what you learn in physical therapy school is very, very similar. It's not like the whole field has changed over 20 years dramatically. There's been significant evidence-based changes and things that obviously we've kept up with as graduated practitioners that they learn for the first time as they go through school. But now those programs are what are called DPT, or Doctorate of Physical Therapy programs. It's called an entry-level doctorate program. It's not the doctorate like someone going for a PhD graduate work, but it's called an entry-level doctorate. So their program is, it was 6 years, right?
Yeah.
So they're in school a little bit longer than we mm-hmm. had to go. And so they have a little bit more training that they get in terms of medical pathology, radiology, differential diagnosis. As the field continues moving more toward the potential for assisting and being an independent practitioner, where people can come off the street and have someone who's very knowledgeable on the medical side of things to make sure that those are being watched for. So those DPT students who've been coming out for the last 5+, you know, even some for more years than that, they're very well versed in their training. And so that's something that's unique and special about those programs. So there's something to be said at Peak Performance in terms of the experience we've got. We've also got more recently trained physical therapists who are a little bit more up on and more well versed in differential diagnostics and things like that, that we didn't have quite as much of going through school, and a little bit more internship training as well, where they're out in the clinic learning before they mm-hmm. graduate. So there are some differences. We really value what Aaron and Mike bring to the clinic. It's different than what Karen and I bring. And we all have that function base, but Mike and I are the two that went through the long program.
You know, Mike, with Peak Performance Physical Therapy, you know, and you are bringing on, you know, new physical therapists. You just hired Aaron, who's joining your staff or has joined your staff. In some ways, you know, you're kind of in a very interesting situation. You are like a coach. So you're working with these new young physical therapists, and you're a coach, but you are also a parent. So you and Karen really bring a whole bunch of cool perspectives to this.
Yeah, and we really love that environment because we believe not only with our patients are we coaches, with the kids that come in or their parents or grandparents or whoever, that as physical therapists, we're sort of coaches on the healthcare side, but we do need to be coaches in the clinic, mentoring and helping train up these young physical therapists. As Mike said, there's times that, you know, he or Aaron may see something from a different perspective or different view that I didn't pick up or I didn't see. And the same obviously is true with Karen and I having had 20 plus years in the field, that we may do the same. So we do try to help coach and mentor them coming up in the ranks and helping share our wisdom and experience so that it doesn't take them 25 years to what it took me to figure out. I think as new physical therapists in the field, it's been really helpful for us to have someone like Aaron and someone like Mike as these young therapists in our clinic. The young athletes certainly appreciate them and get along really well with them because they're certainly closer in age than
sure,
we are.
Sure.
But all of us have been athletes at some level. At high school level, Karen was a runner in college. Aaron played sports in high school. Mike played Division I soccer. So all of us have played sports at different levels, and it really helps a lot. And I don't think it's required, certainly, as a physical therapist to be effective with an athlete, but it certainly helps. It's no different like you as a coach. If you've played the sport before, it gives you some subtleties and some important lessons learned and knowledge base and experience that you can convey as a coach that if you didn't have that stuff, doesn't mean you can't be a good coach, but it certainly helped. And we're in that situation that all of our physical therapists have played sports before. So it does help us, Greg. It helps us relate to the athletes when they come in. And the, on the other side, it's sort of neat because we have that balancing act, right? We've got the younger therapist, but Karen and I as the older therapist there, as parents of athletes, I think gives us a little perspective that we can share with our own patients, and also we can mentor and help Mike and Aaron understand those perspectives that are unique from a parent's side of view. You know, oftentimes, yes, we're treating the kid that came in, right? But we can't forget that they've got parents who sure. care and love for them deeply, who are also impacted by this injury in a number of ways. And just sometimes the teenager, you know, they're frustrated by feeling like everyone's on their back and they feel controlled. And so sometimes they can be frustrated with their parents' role. And we try to encourage them. You need to honor and appreciate that role. They've gone through a lot of sacrifice to get you to this point in sports that you're at. And even just paying the copay and driving you to physical therapy, to be appreciative of that. And I think parents appreciate knowing that there's someone on that side of the healthcare, not only caring for their child, not only caring for their teenager or their young college athlete, but also who kind of has their back, who understands the position they're in. Because as a parent, Greg, when they come in, they've got a lot of questions as a wiser, more experienced adult that sometimes the teenager doesn't have. And so we oftentimes have to speak to that side of things. And the teenager, that young athlete, may not ask those questions, but they're important things that you know the parent, you can see it in their eyes as they begin to talk about a question or a concern they have, that there's something that from a parental side and as an adult, that our experiences of having, you know, a college athlete and high school athletes and of our own helps us mentor them and try and share experiences with them and help lead them down the path and try to encourage and support them in that process too.
You know, it's really intriguing to me because, you know, knowing the folks over on your team, it's a great opportunity, not only for young physical therapists like Mike and Aaron, but also just the simple fact that it's great for you and for the patients and for the, you know, the parents, because you got everything covered. One thing that we do want to cover, Mike, is we've got a couple of questions from some of our listeners and we want to get to those. One of them is about a I think it's a hockey player. Yeah, it's a hockey player who their son broke his ankle and it's still sore. And the fact is that, you know, if I remember the question correctly, this happened about a year ago. And now that it's hockey season again, it still bothers them. So what should they be doing? And should they just stop in and make an appointment to come and get an assessment?
You know what? There's a slew of answers on that question there. I love that question. One thing is that, as you know, Greg, we recently started this sports injury clinic, sports injury screening program, where we have this opportunity for only $25, a relatively small fee for less than the price of an oil change. Come on in for about a 15-minute short, quick visit and let one of our physical therapists get a quick look at you and just help point you in the right direction. So many parents and athletes have things going on. They don't know if they want to commit to a full visit with a physician or even a physical therapist or their athletic trainer. They don't know what they're going to get caught up in, but they want to have somebody who's knowledgeable, give them a little information, point them in the right direction. Let's try to get beyond Googling everything.
Right.
You know, there's so much information out there now that sometimes it can be overwhelming.
Everything can be done on WebMD.
So, absolutely.
So if you go to the web, you've got your answers.
And there's real challenges with that. The information source can be a challenge. The ability of the person reading that information to be discerning and to know what's legit, what's not, to know even when someone offers, hey, this has been backed by research. Well, if you talk to a professional who's in the field, we may be able to be very discerning of that literature and say, well, there's some contentions this way or that way. There's some different perspectives to be had. But if you just take the author's viewpoint, sometimes you can be led down a path that may not mm-hmm. fit really with where you're at. So I think it's something that we're trying to offer as a service to people to say, we'll give you a quick answer. So that's one route for that parent to potentially do. If there's a little bit more certainty that, boy, this we really are pretty confident something needs to be done with this ankle. There's a few options someone like this has. And we do see these stories all the time. One is to certainly go back to that physician if they're still following up with the doctor and just advocate. We would encourage parents to really advocate for their teenage kids, their college kids, and even for themselves when they have an injury. Greg, oftentimes, sort of what might be called the standard of care in various realms, but we'll talk about orthopedics right now, would be to go ahead and set the fracture, fix the fracture, you know, do the arthroscopy. We make that early fix, that immediate care, and then let it rest a bit and let them gradually return to life and see if things go well. And certainly no doubt for a certain percentage of people that things do go well. But I think this question that this listener, you know, emailed into us is a perfect example that so often the perspective can be, hey, they didn't have a lot of pain. They seem to be doing well. But look at what happened to this kid. Right. Months or even a year later, from what seemed to be a quote-unquote healed ankle fracture, we've now got a kid who was going back to actually what they wanted to do, and they're struggling, they're having some troubles. And that really shouldn't be the case. Someone should have, they should have been in an environment where they could be tested and some certainty could be had. And we can do that in physical therapy. We can put them through the rigors and say, boy, I'll tell you what, that ankle now bends just like the other one. Hey, that foot, leg, ankle, it hops just like the other leg now. Hey, you're within 80%. You've still got a little more work to do in this one area, but you're getting close. We can give them that confidence. And oftentimes that quote-unquote standard of care of releasing people back to gradual activity on the surface seems adequate, but leaves too many kids, we believe, too many adults, mm-hmm. in a position where they haven't really fully recovered. They may lack symptoms. They may feel pain-free with low-level activity. And that's an encouraging, reinforcing thing when they go back to visit their doctor. And so then they say, boy, it sounds like you're doing great. You're done. I don't need to see you anymore. But then they go back to the rigorous activity and they struggle. So that person could contact their doctor if they're still seeing that doctor. And I would, you know, really implore parents to advocate for their kid and stand up and go ahead and ask for therapy. Another option is if the doctor's released them and they really haven't seen them for a while, had no plans to. But at this point, their sense is, I'm still struggling. I need some help. Is they can get in for that quick screening visit, or if they're really confident they really are going to need some work, go ahead and set up a direct access physical therapy visit. You can come in. We can do a full formal evaluation, not the short 15-minute screen. Really get down and dirty with digging deeper, trying to understand what's going on, take a lot of measurements, take a look at how they're performing, really design a thorough program. And we really believe kids like this shouldn't exist. This doesn't need to happen.
So in terms of that, though, I think there's one other thing that I'll throw out at you, and I certainly learned this from you, and that is what's good about this story. It's not good that this hockey player, and again, from the email, I'm assuming this is a high school-aged hockey player, that they broke their ankle over a year ago and they're still, you know, having pain. But the good news is what you say all the time. The player, the athlete, they said something.
Absolutely.
I mean, this player could have continued a year after an ankle break and not say a word to mom, dad, coach, or whomever. But it seems like in this case, from the parents' email, that they said something.
Absolutely. You know, let me take a moment for the young athletes out there who are paying attention. Now, we've encouraged the adults to step up and make sure that we don't push kids too hard and that when they need care, they get care, coaches and parents alike. Let's step back for a moment and just remind our young athletes, it is really critical for your well-being, for your enjoyment of your sport. You're not going to be out there having fun, sweating up a storm, laughing and giggling, and just competing and leaving it on the field and court, having fun, loving that side of sports if you're hurt. And it's really critical that when you're starting to have an injury, a pain, a discomfort, something doesn't feel like it's holding you right, you don't feel stable, you don't feel strong, you just aren't performing like yourself. When that's happening for too long, and let's say too long is more than a bunch of days or a week or so, maybe 2 weeks, go ahead and settle down a little bit, give it a chance to go away. But if it's not resolving, boy, you got to step up and say something. There's people out there like what we do at Peak Performance who are out there who can help you, who have the ability to get you back to what you want to do. Undoubtedly, young athletes are concerned. I just heard this from a young athlete from my daughter's team recently. They're concerned about saying something because they know someone's going to tell them to rest. They're afraid to be told not to play. But some of these kids are going to not play for a very long time in the future, or might bring on an injury that requires a surgery, or might compromise their future scholarship that they that they got because they went through these small injuries or recurring things earlier on that they could have done something about.
And, so, and we've talked about that. I mean, you know, we talked, I think, a couple of shows ago where you've got these multi-million dollar athletes who, yeah, if they're injured and they go out, that might be their career. But, hey, they can, obviously being sarcastic, sort of, they can fall back on broadcasting. But the fact of the matter is that if you're 14, 15, 16 years old, you have your entire life ahead of you and you have a serious knee, ankle, whatever injury, you could be affecting the rest of your life here.
Absolutely. And I just talked with a coach today who was in the clinic for a knee problem, who's got actually the opposite ankle, was an old recurring injury, has about a 30% motion loss, very unstable standing on it. Now, I'm talking about the ankle when they were in for their knee. Mm-hmm. It's the wrong ankle when they're in for that knee. And one of the things they said to me was their wife said to them, You got to take care of this. Do you want to lose it all now by getting back and going too hard at things now? Or, you know, what about 15 years from now when our son is ready for you to coach them and play? Will you be ready? I think young teenagers don't think about these things, but as we get older into adulthood, we start projecting out into the future thinking, do I have 1 year in front of me? Or do I maybe have 15, 20, 30 years of sports in front of me? And with the overuse that we see, we've talked about this on numbers of shows with young athletes and these recurring overuse injuries in multiple sports. Kids, I think, more and more now are going to be risking not, hey, boy, I can't play when I'm 45. They're going to be risking that when they're 25. They're going to be risking that when they're 30. And that would be a terrible thing to do. So I love that this young athlete was willing to step up and admit that something wasn't right. And that the parent was willing to be listening to the show and say, hey, let's ask a question about my son. There's got to be something that could be done. Well, let us tell you, absolutely there's things that could be done.
Hear that, parents, and hear that, kids. You know, you got a pain, talk about it and make sure you get it taken care of, and at the very least, get into peak performance and get some sort of assessment of what the injury is and how the functionality can help you. When we come back on U Sports Now, I'll have some final thoughts from my dugout.
U Sports Now at WYSL 92.1 FM, 1040 AM. Get the podcast at WYSL1040.com.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM. Oh,
That's great. He's a great player. She's a great athlete. That was a great play. Great, 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 great. Everything is great. We've become a sports nation of meaningless greatness. Listen to any sports show aside from this one, and the word great is used on average of 6 to 12 times per hour or more. Watch any television broadcast of professional sports, college sports, or even the youth sports games that are televised, and one would think that we've found the cure for cancer, provided homes to the homeless, or wiped out unemployment nationwide. This past weekend, we have had a greatness battle over the airwaves. Experts argued if the 100-yard run back with no time left on the clock during the Alabama-Auburn game was the greatest play in sports ever. Experts battled over the financial enormity of the contract that Jacoby Ellsbury just signed with the Yankees. Is he great enough to deserve that kind of money? By the way, my autographed picture of Ellsbury came down yesterday. And let's not forget the players, be it the NFL, NBA, or NHL, who just a few games ago were the goats of their teams, and one play this week, well, that's made them great. Frankly, being great means nothing anymore, which is sad for those that came before us who truly were great and not for their athletic ability. Roberto Clemente was a good baseball player. He was a great human being with his service to humanity and to those in need. The firefighters who lost their lives last Christmas Eve were good men, but they were great first responders trying to do their jobs. The husband or wife who goes to work every day to earn a living, to send their kids to college and put food on the table, are great parents. This is the era of entitlement, which we've discussed here on Youth Sports Now a number of times. It's where every player needs to get a trophy, make a travel team, or be named to one type of all-star team or another. As adults, we're pouring gasoline on the greatness fire. Many young players, and I'm stereotyping, so please hold on to the phone calls and the emails, they buy into self-greatness. Why? Because somewhere along the way, a parent, a coach, broadcaster, or fan placed the greatness label on them, even at a very early age. When the kids themselves actually believe in the greatness tag, it can be a path to trouble because of this overused phrase that no longer has meaning. Folks, greatness comes from within and is displayed both humbly and without fanfare. I mean, look, I'm just a local business guy who has the privilege of getting to talk with you each week via the airwaves and the newspaper. I'm a fan just like many of you and very passionate about my sports and my teams, thus that Ellsbury photo that went in the garbage. We must stop the world of entitlement for the sake of our kids and who they will grow up to be. Sometimes I'd like to put up a great wall between the kids and the adults, but of course, there already is a great wall. And that's the view from my dugout.
This has been Youth Sports Now. Rochester's only radio show dedicated to the youth athlete has been brought to you by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance, and by McQuaid Jesuit High School, and by TJT Sports Photography. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, or our website at www.youthsportsnowradio.com.